Today's episode is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the widest range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com. That's HyundaiUSA.com. Well, very funny comedian Leo Flowers joins us, and we discover a new game that's sweeping the nation. Also, we have the news. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Duncannon, Pennsylvania. A 38-year-old homeless man was charged with felony theft after he walked out of a convenience store after he underpaid by 43 cents for a bottle of Mountain Dew. Definitely not a Jew.
Leo Flowers, comedian, life coach as well.
Yes, sir.
In studio, got live dates coming up. The Triple Door in Seattle, Washington, July 29th. Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego. I think we're going to go out there at some point. It's up there. Oh, yeah. October 28th, 29th. And a podcast, Before You Kill Yourselves, available wherever you listen to finer podcasts. So let's talk about that for a second, because I know you have a background, at least a master's degree in counseling and psychology.
I do. Yeah, yeah. I used to counsel inmates and married couples.
Oh, really?
Any crossover?
I mean, people think it was weird, but it was the same. You know, they both had, you know, the same issues and both wanted out. But it taught me a lot about relationships and that, like, everything is a relationship. Whether you're talking about your cellmate or you're talking about your spouse, like it's all the same. And communication, you know, being the key. So I did that for a few years, but I quit because when you're counseling inmates, you start thinking like a criminal after a while. Like, because they would tell you like how they break into houses, how they rob banks, you know, how to pickpocket somebody.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I like my own plausible deniability.
Yeah. So then I started like walking around looking at people as marks. Like, oh yeah, I could definitely lift that wallet off that guy, or, you know, she should lock her doors, or her code is XYZ. And I didn't like processing the world like a heist movie.
Well,
you know,
it could have been worse. You could have been counseling pedophiles. At a certain point, hey, does have a point there.
Yeah, yeah. Start looking at kids.
I'm going down to the park. I'm going to have lunch at the park. I'll be back.
I don't agree, but I understand it.
Oh, yeah. That girl's got low self-esteem.
Yeah.
For example.
Well, I kind of feel this way myself. I come from a group of sort of counselors and therapists, and I was very much the only classes I liked in school or junior college was like psychology classes, and I ended up sort of taking my love of sort of the human condition and psychology and just sort of moving it over to comedy. You can just tweak it a little bit, these observations, these thoughts, these insights. You just tweak it a little bit, and you have a comedy routine.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people want, is they want insights into their – they want those moments like when you're on stage talking about relationships, and they go, me too. Like, I have this joke where I talk about how women want to be felt and not fixed. Because, like, every guy has you know, does the thing where like his girl is complaining about something and then we immediately try to fix it. And then for some reason it makes it worse. Like now she's yelling at us mm-hmm. about the thing she was upset about. Mm-hmm. And then like I realize like you don't want to fix her situation. You want to feel her. So like if she's like, I'm upset about my boss and I hate my boss, then you say, I hate your boss too. You know, like she's like, I hate Becky too. Like you just double down on what she says and then the tension will dissipate. And then you can go back to watching your game. You know what I mean?
The problem with guy mode, and especially with me, because my background is in building and fixing shit, you know, cars and houses and stuff like that. So these emotional situations they're in with the boss at work, mm-hmm. you know, they start getting into Gloria's a cunt, and then you start going running for your toolbox. Yeah. And like, we got to fix this cunt.
Yeah, maybe if you tried...
Just nod and just lap it up and soak it in. Because I don't even know that they want it fixed, but I'm treating it like a broken refrigerator, and I'm going right for the fix. And at some point, there's an argument because you're spending all this mechanical time on what you think is a problem. But it's not really a problem. It's a vent session.
It's a vent session. You know, I mean, I'm sure you take an improv, Adam, where you play that game called Yes And.
For sure.
Where you just say yes to what they're saying, and then you build on it. Like, right. I hate him. I want him dead. I want his family dead. Like, you just like, exaggerate her emotions. And then she's like, yeah. And then she'll tire herself out, and then you can go back, you know, into your garage and hang out.
I would love to say you all can shut the fuck up because you're not female, but in fact, you're 100% right, and I thank you for seeing us.
Right. Some positive mansplaining for a change. The other problem is, and this is my biggest problem, this is why everyone hates me, people do this. I will do it for a male or a female, though. They'll do this thing where like, oh, you know what happened to work? I just walked in. And Becky started screaming at me, just started screaming in my face. And then at some point you go, why? Yeah. And then her answer is always, because she's a bitch.
That would make Becky a clinically insane person.
Yeah, she's not employable at that point. So then at some point you start drilling down on it and they go, I may have parked in her space and she may be disabled, but that doesn't give it. And then you start getting into, well, you could avoid this by not parking in her handicap play.
Why are you always taking Becky's
right,
side?
Now you're taking, well, turns out Becky's right half the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what you want to do, like, because like when somebody's complaining, it can feel like a terrorist attack, right? Because we get flooded. What people don't understand is men's cortisol levels actually raise faster than women's because it goes back to the hunter-gatherer days. Because we were the hunters, we had to be more on high alert than women, right? And so our cortisol levels lower slower than women's. And that's why, like, a lot of times in an argument, the guy has to go for a walk. He's like, I'm out of here. And it's just his way of calming down, because when we hunted and killed, we actually calmed down by carrying the game back to the tribe. That was our time to kind of relax and reset. But you don't get that if the threat is, or you feel like the threat is in the house. Where do you go?
You would have been such a great expert witness for the Depp Heard case.
Yeah.
Seriously, because how many times he's like, you got to leave me alone. I need a break from you. And she's
My son, when he's in a bad relationship, is going to announce, I'm going to go by the front door and wait for the Grubhub guy until
Clear
you
my
calm
head.
Down.
That's my space.
Well, you bring up a good point, because what happens in a relationship is the guy goes, I'm going to go for a walk. And then the woman usually has some type of abandonment issues. Mm. And so the guy saying, I'm going to go for a walk, triggers when her dad said he was going for a walk and never came back. Or he went for a walk and, you know, went to the bar or got drunk or,
so
you know, whatever.
Threat.
It feels like a threat to the woman. So as a guy, what you want to say is, I'm going to go for a walk for 10 minutes. Give her a time. Mm. I'm going to walk around a block. Give her like some boundaries, and then she doesn't feel this trigger to say, when I go for a walk, it's just to calm down. It's, I'm not leaving you. Mm. You know?
And you probably don't leave any homework assignments. Like, I'm going to go for a walk. Figure out, you go find a fucking mirror and figure out what the fuck is staring back at you, okay? I'm going to go for a walk.
You got 10 minutes.
Yeah. Don't leave
with
anymore.
Don't say I'm out of here. Don't say that. That
don't
really
say that.
I'm out of here. No, don't say that. Just, I'm gonna go calm down, taking some fractals, and return. Yeah.
I was laughing, speaking of leaving and never coming back. I was thinking about this. I've been doing my audiobook, so I'm reading pages of my book. not out yet, but it's
a lot of recovered
stick
memories
in my head. And I was thinking about the fact that when I was a kid, it was like, what happened to your dad? He went out for a pack of cigarettes. He never came home. And I now realize we treat smokers much worse than deadbeat dads.
Who went out for cigarettes?
Who went out for cigarettes. So now you said, my dad went out for cigarettes and never came back. Be good. You don't need that secondhand smoke floating around the apartment. We would judge him much more for smoking than we would for abandoning his family. Where did you grow up? What is your backstory?
I grew up in a city with the second best pizza in the world, Chicago.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir.
Yeah, first best is in Italy, of course. I mean,
unless you're Brian,
I would take the Chicago pizza. Or I've been to both.
Well, you know what? I went to the small town in Italy. I was performing for the troops over there, and we went to the small town.
We get it. You're all right, charitable.
Wait a minute, who's troops?
Yeah, right. Who's right?
Could have been Al Qaeda.
That's good.
I know. I am growing a beard out kind of long right now. And there was one restaurant in all of Italy that served deep dish pizza, and it was the best pizza I've ever had. And I can't remember the name of the restaurant or the city.
Well, for now, we'll stick with Lou Malnati's doing the half-frozen shipping.
Yeah. But actually, you know, Detroit style pizza, I just had that. That's just weird.
What is Detroit style?
It's deep dish, square, but I think they add the sauce after it comes out of the they do something different with the sauce.
And isn't it different?
It's incredible. But yeah, it's in squares.
So. Where's the best deep dish in Chicago? Is it Gino's or is it somewhere else?
Well, so for me, it's nostalgic. Every payday, my mom worked at a bank. I grew up like in a Section 8 building in Rogers Park in Chicago. And every payday, mom would take me and my younger sister to Giordano's. Mm-hmm. And I would always get the pepperoni pizza. Mm. So for me, Giordano's is the spot. Yeah, you can't go anywhere else.
Just FYI about Detroit-style pizza, because I knew there was something weird about the cheese. And you're right, they put the sauce on last. It's with Wisconsin brick cheese as opposed to mozzarella. I'm sure it's
good wrestling
great
name. Wisconsin's own brick cheese has entered the ring.
It looks amazing if you're high.
He's got a big wheel over his head. You know, he's going to smash it over a guy's head. Does the cheese cutter, which is a grating type move.
Drives it a Lambeau leaf.
He's going to slice you.
It looks like lasagna.
How did you get from the rough and tumble upbringing, Section 8 housing and all that, into the wild success we see before us today?
Well, you know what? I grew up in like the best of both worlds on the north side of Chicago. I grew up between two Ivy League schools. Loyola University was maybe 4 or 5 blocks from my house, and then Northwestern was on the other side. So I just saw all backpacks and crackheads growing up. Right. So it was like, those were my two options, you know, and I was like, the crackhead, you know, direction didn't look too promising. So I went the backpack route, and I was fortunate to have my mom she pulled us out of public school when I was in third grade and put me in a Catholic school in the fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And that saved my life, hands down, because I had already gotten jumped. I had just got jumped into a gang in the third grade. Oh, like, wow. I didn't even ask to. I was just in the bathroom.
But
the gang members walked in, and they were just like, you're with us now. And then my mom was like, we got to pull you out of the school and put you into a – and, I mean, you know, she worked like another job so that, you know, I could do that. But
your mom paid for the private school?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, my dad – so I was – I'm what you call the North Side family, meaning that my dad had me and my mom on the North Side, and then he had his wife and two daughters on the South Side.
They were Sox fans.
We're all Bulls fans. So he would send money to help out with that. And then, like, I have come from a very large family. My mom's from Belize, and she has four sisters. And I'm sure they contributed on varying levels. Wow. So it was a group effort.
Did your dad spend time with you?
I saw him like maybe once or twice a year, you know, birthdays or holidays.
And do you know if there was ever any conversation? Did anyone find out about anyone?
My dad, I mean, like a G. So backstory, my dad, so he married his wife, had two daughters. He wanted a son. And this was at a time where, like, guys thought that the woman determined the sex of the baby, right? And so my dad was like, my wife can't give me a boy. So he literally, it's like a proposition. He goes to my mom and is like, I need a boy. Can you give me a boy? My mom goes, I'll give you a boy. And then I popped out. So my mom from day one knew. Yeah, and never, you know, he took it with him to his grave. Wow. His wife never found out. And then at my dad's funeral is when I met my two older sisters.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah.
It was everything. It was anger. It was frustration. It was sadness because I, you know, the family didn't know about me. I'm not in
the obituary.
Right. And so I just had to kind of like sit in the back quietly like I was a visitor, you know,
but you knew about them.
I knew about them. Yeah.
But my guess or my assumption always is with a guy like people like your dad, they know who he is too. You know what I mean? Like, did this come as a huge surprise? Like,
my dad, I think he told two people, and wow. And they kept his secret because my dad was that guy like that. Everybody, like, he was the leader. He was the pack leader, you know, and so people were very loyal to him because he pulled. He was from Anniston, Alabama. Dropped out of school, was able to buy a house, put his two daughters through college, had a Cadillac, like, and then he took care of the other family members who needed help. So he goes from Anniston, Alabama to Chicago and takes, so, you know, nobody's going to rat him out, you know.
Wow. I've tried that, my wife can't give me a son line, which is always dubiously accepted because I always ask for a blowjob right after that, and that's when they kind of know.
Yeah,
it's a ruse, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think it's ultimately what killed him, like holding that secret. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. He literally had like heart disease, cancer, died. Like, he had all the things, and
well,
it's
they,
like
they
secrets
say stress
killer.
is a killer.
It's a
and
killer
that living in, I guess, in the same town ostensibly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and running back and forth like both sides, but
what
it
was
also
his business.
So he was a longshoreman, and then he also managed a nightclub. And then as he got older, he wanted to work for himself. So at the age of 43, he went back and got his GED.
Damn.
Yeah, like a gangster. Like, that's gangster right there at 43. Like, I don't like going back for anything. And to go back for algebra is like, that's, I mean, hats off to him, you know. So
your dad's kind of a renaissance-y guy.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of range.
Yeah, lots. Like, he played golf. He was playing golf with nobody else because that's how he made money in Alabama, was he was a caddy. And so, you know, mirror neurons, you know, you're watching people golf, and he was good. He was really good. Yeah.
I tried to get this game show off the ground. Is he black? And we just name all the shits like had two families. All right. Yeah. Avid golfer. Oh, hold on
a
second.
Worked as a golf caddy.
Longshoreman.
But he also worked at a nightclub.
Now we're going back.
At 43.
Drove a Cadillac. Okay, Chicago, what year was
that?
We
did the math.
Your dad, we'd have to flip over all the cards.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
wouldn't
know.
Oh, yeah.
He's a leader in the clubhouse of my new game show that's sweeping the nation. Get Leno on the blower. See if he can host this thing.
Yeah. Dad was great, man. And I understood why. I was like, why would my mom even take that deal? You know what I'm saying? And then my mom's from Belize, and there was this huge hurricane that wiped out like 70% of the population. So all the men in Belize had to come to America for work, and that left all these women there. So the ratio of like men to women was like 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. So my mom grew up in a city basically where there was like, you know, all these women who had multiple fathers, you know, for their kids. Mm-hmm. And so it was nothing new to her. She was like, yeah, this is how I grew up. You know,
there was no taboo about it.
There was no taboo about it. Everybody, like, she has five sisters. They all have separate dads.
Wow. Well, let's talk about that, and we'll circle back to your training, which is, you know, you saw the guys going off to college, and then you saw the junkies, and then you thought, I would like to do a little more of the backpack versus a rig and tying off. So that's what you did. I did that too. I looked around and went, I don't want any of this. Right. Like, no air conditioning and food stamps. Like, I gotta do something other than what these people are doing. Now, the number one excuse that everyone offers up is, well, you know, that's my dad was an alcoholic, you know, now I'm a, you know, and then he didn't know, and so I didn't know. And it's like, but I feel like you should know because you got a front row seat to it. And there is a 8% of the population who goes, this is where I come from. I ain't getting close to that. You know, maybe it's an Oprah thing or something. And then the other 92% just fall in the footsteps.
Here's the thing, Adam. I almost didn't make it. I really did have that like Boys in the Hood story where I'm a junior in high school and I'm being courted for to get scholarships by colleges. Like I'm like defensive player of the year, all these things. And so I'm on that path of like getting out the hood and going into the summer going into my senior year. Some of my buddies from my childhood called up. And I say from my childhood because we were best friends since 9, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the holidays. And then there was a point where I could see them getting into gangs and drugs, and I got into football. So then we went separate ways for years. I hadn't talked to them. And then they just hit me up out the blue like, hey, you want to go for a ride? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm about to leave in a year. These are my boys. And I get in the car. Sure enough, we get pulled over because the rear taillight is out. And then the cop goes, you know, he's like, I can see him running a check, and he goes, this car has been reported carjacked.
Oh, shit.
And so now I'm arrested, right, with my two buddies, and I can't prove my innocence. I can't prove that I wasn't there when it happened. I didn't have an alibi. And so we do a lineup, and a guy points me out as being one of the guys who carjacks him. And here's why. I put on my buddy's jacket because it was cold. So he recognized the jacket and was like, that guy carjacked me. So now I'm before a judge. I never went to court before. So I only have one suit. It's my prom suit. I wore the junior prom.
Blue tuxedo.
No, green. So I'm in court. I'm the only person in court with a suit on. Everybody else is in Tim's and a hoodie. Like they've been there 10 times. This is my first time. I walk in a prom suit and I got all these letters from every single teacher saying, speaking of my character and all these things, the judge doesn't give a damn about any of that. The day before my court hearing, I get a letter from Penn State saying they want me for football. It was the first letter I received.
Wow.
And it was the last thing I pulled out. I go, judge, listen, do not, because I had to plead guilty because I couldn't prove my innocence. So I plead guilty and I hand them the Penn State letter. And then he goes, if you didn't have this, I would send you to juvenile detention. He goes, I'm going to give you one more shot. You have 700 hours of community service. You have to serve it all over the summer. If you don't serve it all, I'm going to send you to juvie, and then we're never going to see you again. And shout out to the judge in Penn State because I almost didn't make it here, Adam.
Was Joe Pop coaching at the time? He must have been.
Was Jerry Sandusky coaching?
It was Sandusky was there.
Because you were a defensive player.
Yeah, I was a defensive player. Sandusky was there. And then and Pop was there. But I ended up going to Ball State in Indiana. They actually, I was too small for Penn State. But on paper, I was incredible. But just size-wise, I wasn't big enough for the Big Ten.
What position did you play?
Defensive tackle. So I was 275.
Oh, way too small. Way, mm-hmm. way,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was 275 at the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But just height-wise, like, I mean, those guys, like, when you get, like, people were like, why didn't you go pro? I was like, when you get to the college level and you meet players who are going pro, they're just on a different – you can't train
for
that. Like, they can't – like, LeBron James was that out the womb. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to say that he didn't work hard, he didn't train, but there is a genetic aspect of what your abilities are and size-wise.
It's basically the same difference as, like, the trans athlete who's transitioned 10 minutes ago and is going to go into powerlifting with the ladies. It's that, except for you're one of the chicks, she's a chick, and you just you look at them and you can't bridge that gap.
Yeah.
And in football, it all comes out immediately because they just do a 40 time, then they see how much you can bench and how much you can squat, and it's pretty apparent pretty fast that there's just no competing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you can go full Rudy, but that you just end up like so Rudy.
Right.
You don't go to the show. Rudy, there's no Rudy Part 2 drafted by the Colts. It was just, that's it. You turn out to be Rudy. So you knew it.
Yeah, I knew it. But you were asking, like, you know, like how do people pick one path versus the other? And I got to be honest, like, I was fortunate to have really great mentors. My mom dated wonderful guys who I still have their, you know, their phrasing and their ideas and their philosophies
in
my head.
Tell us what they did and what their hobbies were, and we'll try to figure out, are they black? That's where the audience cheered. You know,
All right, so here it is. My mom dated a guy named Ehrman, and he was consistent.
Hold on, got to write it down.
Okay, Ehrman,
and he always wanted a Jaguar. He didn't drive one, but he wanted one. But his license plate said professor.
Oh.
And so from there, that was the bar for me of like, oh, maybe I want to be a professor, because he always wanted to do that. And I was like, man, I would like to do that as like a nod to Ehrman, because he's such a great guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Tenured or pimp? The professor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good question.
Range there. Jacket with the suede patches on the sleeves or full mink coat?
Right.
The professor, card player, or like actually lecturing in front of students?
Look no further than the Bishop Don magic wand.
Yeah.
He's not actually in the clergy.
Now, Ehrman would tell me one thing. Ehrman.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go like Herm?
Sadly, wanting a Jaguar versus getting one from his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
right.
A different.
Did he call it a Jaguar or a Jaguar?
Mm. Oh, I think he added an E at the end.
Right.
Yeah,
if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question.
A Jaguar?
What would he say?
Leo, thank you for coming.
Haven't finished.
Oh, yeah, this is so dope.
All right. I know. Brian, where are you coming down?
Well, the Jaguar did it. I'm going black.
Mm. Crazy name means could have been a countryman.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'll go black, but of a different nationality.
Like Dominican?
Yeah.
Like West Indies?
Wow, there you go. Yeah, he's Belizean.
No! Yeah. Come on!
Hey, you got to play the game. That's why you have to play. You have to. Stan, I'm trying to explain to Leno during my pitch. This is why. Should we try the next suitor?
The next one, it was my football coach.
Okay.
So, there you go. So
wait. Head coach, position, offensive coordinator,
head coach.
Oh.
High school head coach.
Yeah. Special teams coordinator?
Mm-hmm.
Well, head coach.
But here's his advice to me. I remember some guys on the team were saying that I was only making the plays I was able to make because I played weak side tackle if I was on the strong side. If you understand football, you know what I mean. But anyway, I remember going to him being like, they're only saying I'm making the plays because I'm on weak side. And he was like, Flowers, you still got to make the play. And he make the play. And I never forgot that. He's like, it doesn't matter where I put you, because you can put people in the right position and they still don't make the play. He goes, you make the play. Mm-hmm. You execute, you know? Right. So I always remember that.
Did he leave the team in prayer?
That can go a lot of different directions.
That's open to interpretation.
What was his drink? Is it a Cafassier guy or more of a Bud Light?
I give you another clue. They call him Twinkle Toes in college.
Okay, skill position.
He was a big guy, actually.
Ironic,
a fat guy stretch.
There you go.
Big guy.
Athletic.
Anything else? Hobbies?
Tail guy or athletic guy?
Athletic.
Okay.
But big athletic. Like, you know, those big dudes who can dunk, and you're like, wow, because they have that calf to Achilles ratio.
That down. Yeah.
Not that he can dunk. I don't think that
would have been.
Gym rat or naturally gifted?
I'd say both. If you want his last name, because the last name will tell you everything. Karloff.
Oh.
Coach Karloff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going
I'm getting
white.
A Friday Night Lights vibe.
Yeah. I'm going white.
White all the way.
Yeah. Was that a good show? I never watched it.
I didn't either. I saw the movie.
The movie's good.
Yeah. Oh, the movie's good.
So do you have like 10 more of these? Because we could do a whole season.
I'll give you one more.
Please.
Let me think. Well, you know, so in college, my first year, in college. Most of the time when you go in for football.
Play the music, Brian.
Where's the music,
play
Brian?
The game.
So my first year in college, we had to do a three-week camp. Most of the time, football camp's 2 weeks. But it was 3 weeks, and we had three-a-days. And it was like you had three practices a day for 3 weeks, right? You had, like, maybe a day or two off. But anyway, it was rough for me. It was my first time, you know, being away from home, and I couldn't sleep at night. And I asked my coach what to do, and he gave me a Bible.
Oh.
And it was a sports Bible.
Oh.
And so, like, you know, it was broken down into, like, layman's terms. And every night I'd be in the bathroom reading Proverbs. And that got me through psychologically. Here's how tough the practice was. Every morning we had to do a head count because one player would quit the team.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, like these are guys on full ride scholarships. And you just hear, like, that bell being rung. And they're like, I'm out of here. I can't handle this. Like, grown men crying. 6'5", 320, in tears. And they're like, I'm out of here. Yeah. So every night I'm reading Proverbs. Like, please give me the strength.
All right.
Is it Ball State?
Ball State University, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
David Letterman's alma mater.
Oh, no,
actually.
Yes. This could go either way with the Bible.
Yeah, it could. I had a coach who, they used to call it Hell Week, but we used to do this pre-training for Hell Week. Like, and his big joke was, you work hard enough, and Hell Week is only going to be Heck Week.
Good one.
It's good.
Which is a very coachy kind of humor level that was going
on. Coach joke and dad joke are very aligned.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. The coach is an exaggerated dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it position coach or head coach?
This was a head coach. Oh, no. This one is a position coach. Ooh. He was our linebacker coach. Linebacker coach.
I'm leaning.
I'm cut out of this.
Inside or outside linebacker? What did he play back in the day?
Oh, that's a great question. This guy was crazy, so I'd have to say middle. That does make a difference.
Mike, Sam,
I like where you're going.
Run stopper type.
Mike.
Bill Berge type.
Yeah, definitely run stopper.
Matt Millen type.
More like junior Seau, Mike Singletary. Yeah.
Singletary does sort of confound things a little bit. Based on the inside backer.
Yeah.
And the run stopping and the year.
That's true.
I'm going white.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you want the last name?
No. They got to guess.
That's
before
an unfair
we go
advantage.
Last name.
Okay. Yeah. This is where we diverge. I'm going to go black.
Mm. Oh, boy. I got to recuse myself. I don't know anything about football.
He's black. Black man from Alabama.
I knew it.
What was his last name?
Beelen. Coach Beelen. Oh, yeah. And he was, I mean, like dark.
I don't see the color, by the way.
And here's the thing. I bring up how dark he is because when he got angry, his eyes would turn yellow. His eyes would turn color. Yeah, it was frightening.
That's like Thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that concludes that round.
Oh, that was the best. What does Leo win?
There's no outro music.
That's all we got. This is kind of spontaneous, but I'm gonna get in the writer's room. We'll get Eddie Gordetsky. We'll punch this thing up before we present it to Leno. I think he's willing to hop on here. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the news right after this.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Ketanji Brown Jackson has been sworn in as a Supreme Court justice, making her the first black woman on the highest court. Jackson is a former public defender and federal appeals court judge. A formal ceremony will be held later in the fall. But by swearing her in now, she can start working on tons of different stuff in the meantime. Jackson's nomination was confirmed by the Senate 53 to 47.
You know her, yeah. Leo?
Oh, yeah. We go way back. Yeah, yeah. We had the same route to school and everything. We held hands a
few
days.
She went the backpack route.
Yeah, yeah. She went the backpack route. Mm-hmm. She wasn't always a backpack girl. Well, she really had some thug in her, but, she cleaned her act up. I'm proud of her.
And I can't remember, and I brought this up before, I should have looked it up, but somehow, in some way, she's related to Paul Ryan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're like, by marriage. Because I heard it on a news podcast, but it's I got to get bust out the family tree. They are related.
It used to be you'd aspire, kid, he'll be the president or on the Supreme Court. I don't know if I wouldn't want my kid being on the Supreme Court anymore.
Oh, anymore.
Like too much.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's funny how, like,
a girl may have a chance.
You know, sure. Growing up, people want their kids to be like doctors and lawyers and all these things, but they don't realize, like, how much time away from family that requires, her being on the Supreme Court, like that's wonderful. But there's not enough love for like construction workers and people who work like 9-to-5 jobs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like they're home for the kids with the homework and all that. Like
your family, your everything, your friends might have been in Houston or just throwing one out there. Now you live in D.C. Now you live year round in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Here's how they're related. Jackson's husband has a twin brother who's married to Ryan's sister-in-law.
Hmm.
So okay. That's a fun Thanksgiving.
They need to do like a 23andMe because that sounds like there's more going on there than.
She's replacing Justice Stephen Breyer, which I think still keeps things 6-3.
Is Ketanji a name?
It is a name.
We've heard before.
I coached a kid named Kenji.
Oh, I knew a close. Kenji, a guy.
Never heard of Ketanji before.
Yeah. Kenyatta.
She'd be pretty easy and are they
the
black?
Gang?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because once we got the Ketanji part, Supreme Court.
Nowadays, you can't tell. People getting too fancy. Like, what's Elon Musk? What did he name his XYZ?
Carry the three to the power of four.
Apostrophe.
He's on some periodic table or
right,
something.
With Grimes.
Yeah.
But now it's all about the dumb fucking names that white kids, that white people name their kids. I'm on this Facebook group because it's so funny. There's so many Axton, Braxton, Braylon, Kalen, Jalen's.
Oh, really?
That
oh,
was my all God. My jokes from the last with Bald Brian. Aiden, Braden, Kate,
yes.
Jane, and Hayden.
But now like Axton, Braxton, Jackson, that's where we are now.
I don't think it's generally a good idea to give your kid too much of a highfalutin name, whatever mm-hmm. color they are. Because, like, you just name your boy Eric and your daughter Sue or Mary or something, and you go, you're on your fucking own. Like, you got to go earn it. No, you're not going to be this because of that. Mm. You'll never. There's a certain weird kind of satiation where you sort of feel like special because everyone's always going, what kind of name is that? Or that's a very interesting name. Or, if your name is Frank, you never get that. You want that praise. You got to go out and do something versus everyone, especially these days when all of a sudden adults want to be nice to kids, like, oh, that's such an, mm-hmm. when I was a kid, adults weren't interested in impressing.
They weren't your friend.
They weren't your friend. They certainly didn't want to impress you or want praise from you or anything. You just need to get the fuck out of the way.
You know that one of Nick Cannon's children is named Powerful Queen.
Is that the first name?
Powerful. And I'm assuming maybe Queen's the middle name. There's Moroccan Monroe, Powerful Queen, Zion, Zen, Golden, and Zillionaire.
See, this is
Zillionaire.
You used to have to earn your name.
Right.
Yeah. You used to have to earn things, and now it's like just given to you, and these kids are walking around. But that also causes a lot of anxiety in kids.
To live
because
up to?
You imagine at Starbucks, that's my real name. Sure. It really is Powerful Queen. Yeah. Write the whole thing down.
Well, you'd have to, if you're going to be Zillionaire, and you frequent the Starbucks, you got to just, I know like the people I like the most, there's a guy who works in my other shop. He's Armenian. His name is Shan. And he just goes by Sean because it's easier for the ugly Americans to spit it out.
Zoe, that's my coffee.
I just want to slow him down, you know. And I think you got to go that with the zillionaire
Power
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom named me actually Leonard. That's how you would say Leonard, right? And so when people call me Leonard or Leonard, she's like, that's not your name. You tell them it's Leonard. And I'm like, nobody's going to say that. Mom. I don't even want to say that.
Sell.
And I'm like, why would you do that? Why didn't you just name me Leo? Because like Leo runs in my family. Like my sister's Leolin. My aunt is Leona. My grandmother's Leolin. My dad is Leon. And then there's a Leander. Like Leo is very popular, which is actually popular in Russia. I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, Leo is
Leo Tolstoy.
Yeah, there you go.
You're like George Foreman over here. You name all his kids George and Georgina and everything like that.
Speaking of babies' names, Christy's brother, former show intern Chris, had a baby yesterday, and they named it a great throwback name, but not weird, Nolan.
Nolan. Like Nolan Ryan.
Nolan.
Yeah,
Nolan.
I like that.
That's an underused
name. That's a strong name right
there. There's a way to come up with a name that's a little bit unique, but not in your face and ostentatious.
Aggressive.
Ostentatious, not a bad name for one of them.
Oh, that's a great name right there.
One of Nick Cannon's kids.
At the very least, a good drag queen.
Probably have one now, right?
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah, and next to Magnanimous. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's excellent.
So remember a while back we talked about that, like those mystery deaths at the Sandals Resort that like people just died and
drinking
nobody knew
the poison booze from
this was a different one.
They
just up and died and nobody knew why. Well, I guess we know now. The three American tourists that were found dead at Sandals in Bahamas in early May died as a result of asphyxiation due to carbon monoxide poisoning. Fox News reports that it was a 68-year-old guy, Michael Phillips, 65-year-old Robbie Phillips, and 64-year-old Vincent Chiarella. His wife is now out of the hospital. She's still alive. They were all found unresponsive on May 6th. The source of the carbon monoxide leaks remains unclear, but they are going overboard to get people to not be afraid to come. This is the statement. They said, despite initial speculation, Bahamania authorities have concluded that the cause was an isolated incident in one standalone structure that housed two individual guest rooms. There is no way this is linked to the air conditioning system, food, beverage, landscaping, foul play. And CO detectors have been placed in all the guest rooms, and they were big about, like, we didn't have to do that. That's not a rule here in the Bahamas, but we're doing it. Like, it's fine. Come, please.
Yeah, you people, when you get a smoke detector, make sure it has the CO2 or the CO whatever on there as well. They're $24. They're like in a same unit now. And it's good because I think it was tennis star Vitas Gerulaitis. If I screw that
is
name up.
Is he black?
Vitas Gerulaitis. Tennis star. I think it was he. We'll figure it out. Chris will figure out if Vitas Gerulaitis, who was a champion tennis player, died of carbon monoxide poisoning. I've had carbon monoxide poisoning.
Why?
The VW scoreback.
I fell asleep in the back of a weird custom van. Try to figure out if my mom's boyfriend, Zorback, black, white, had the screen door in the back, and it was, van from the 70s. And if you'd ever traveled in like a 70s station wagon and opened the hatch and driven a block, you'd smell. It would create like a vacuum and suck. I fell asleep and sucked up all the stuff, and it fucked me up royally. I'd probably be on the Supreme Court right now. But Vitas Gerulaitis.
Yeah. So in 94, while visiting a friend's home in Southampton, New York, an improperly installed pool heater caused carbon monoxide gas to seep into the guest house where Gerulaitis was sleeping, causing his death by carbon monoxide poisoning.
He must have been 39 or something. I mean, I may be playing that.
40.
40. Yeah. Way the fuck off.
I know.
He was a champion tennis player, and he was in good shape. And what happens with the carbon monoxide poisoning, look at that. He's a beautiful man with the blonde hair. It makes you sleepy as shit. Yes. I mean, it makes you sleepy like when you're going under.
It's like Benadryl.
Start passing. Right. Right. Yeah, indeed. They start pumping in the carbon monoxide or what? Sorry, carbon, laughing gas.
Yeah.
They start pumping that in, or the Jesus juice. Sure. I mean, you get sleepier than you've ever been.
Nitrous oxide.
Yes, you get sleepier than you've ever been, and then you just go to bed. And that is it.
Wow.
That's and I think crazy. That's why people used to kill themselves that way.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that like Sylvia Plath, like stuck her head in the oven? Or
yeah, that's I guess that's where that trope came from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The gas oven. There's also years ago, there was I think it was probably This American Life, or one of those spooky Halloween episodes. And one of them ended up being about this family that was always hearing voices and auditory hallucinations and then visual hallucinations. And they were all fucked up, and how these stories were so prevalent at that time. Didn't realize, of course, at the time it was carbon monoxide poisoning in their house.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, buddy.
Well, maybe we'll play with Leo. We're talking about improvisation. You be the guy who owned the house where Vitas Gerulaitis died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and I'll be the pool man.
All right, got it.
And well, start slow. I'll try to guess why you're calling. Hello?
Yeah, so...
Hey, Tim. Yeah, I recognize your voice.
What's up? What's up,
Frank? We got a problem with the skimmer?
Yeah, so I walk in, and there's a white guy. He's passed out.
Hey, I'm the pool man. I'm not in charge of house guests.
Oh, you're the pool guy.
Yeah, I'm the pool guy.
All right, so you grab the legs. I'm going to grab the arms.
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you need more diatomaceous? Brian, let's play this game.
All right, ready?
Play the game. Not helping you move a body. Hello, Z-Best Pools.
Hey, is this Rick?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, it's Tim. You installed the heater in my pool.
Oh, yeah,
up here,
man.
In upstate New
Some
York.
Of my best work.
I mean,
you know,
sadly, that may be true.
A lot of guys want to pull a permit. Not this guy.
Yeah, I'm not thinking it's worth
the $500. Yeah, I saved you a ton of dough.
You did save $500 bucks.
I mean, what could be worth more?
Well, problem, I think you may have hooked it up wrong because I have a...
Hey, you know those little test tubes that I use where the thing turns a different color if there's too much chlorine?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't find mine. Is that why you're calling?
Oh, no, we have plenty.
Or is it something smaller than that?
It's actually...
as important as that?
I would say it's more important. I had a... remember the guest house?
More important than the test tube kit?
Well, I feel like I can get those pretty cheap.
Well, yeah, but with the supply chain... I mean, it's like $19. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I imagine any number of vessel will work for those.
Let's not get mired. You want to skim?
Well,
you want more chemicals?
No, what? I don't want any of that. In fact, I'm regretting you installing the pool to begin. I'm getting ahead of myself. I had a guest. You remember the guest house next to the pool?
Yeah, I remember going in there. I used the bathroom. Well, seemed like the safest place in the world to me.
You also ran the heating pipe through there, which, again, I questioned.
Well, that's why I saved you a ton of dough. You wanted to go all the way around. You wanted to trench outside the house.
You
I said, why not slide it right under the guest
you
house?
You did point out that breaking up the patio was going to cost
that's
me an
a
extra.
Big, that's high dough. We got to hire a guy with a wet saw. Anyway, you're welcome. Are we done here?
Far from it. I had a guest in the house, and I think there might have been, I don't know, some improper hookup of the...
Well, let's make this quick, because I got to install a bunch of pool heaters my own way.
No,
Tim way.
Don't do that. Don't do the Tim way.
I've already done 7 of them. And Bjorn Borg is coming to a very important client's home to stay in his guest room. Could you imagine the Bjorn Borg staying in one of my client's guest houses? It's going
to
be awesome.
That's almost impossible to believe.
I'm
going to
get his autograph first thing tomorrow morning. First thing tomorrow. Hey, I'm going right to Bjorn's guest house. I'll tell him a little story about running that pipe. And then I'll get his autograph.
I know Bjorn has a first-round match tomorrow morning. Tell him he can sleep in.
Okay.
His opponent might not make it.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be there.
All right. And then, because Leo's listening, Arthur Ashe is staying at another dear friend's house. And I'll get his autograph as well.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Are we good here?
I think we're okay.
All right.
I have some other calls to make.
RNC. All right.
So go something like that.
I love that. You know what? It's funny because it is a reminder of, like, you just got to live life because you don't know what's going to take you out. Everybody's, like, worried about all these global threats. I had an Uber driver fall asleep on me.
What?
I was on a 405. I was leaving an improv.
Well, the good news is you're probably going 2 miles an hour.
Well, no, it was 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So we're at, like, full, like, 75. Yeah. And I'm, fortunately, I'm in the front seat because there's an Uber pool and there's an old Mexican lady in the back. And then... the road is turning, but the car isn't.
Wow.
And I look over and his head is against the glass. And I just like, I reach over. I've been in like.
Oh, you trumped him. You grabbed the wheel.
Yeah, I grabbed the wheel. I've been in like 12 car accidents as a kid. I used to drive around with this guy who was drunk all the time and always had to be alert. So I was just like, I just grabbed the steering wheel and I start, you know, driving us around the bend. I nudge him to wake him up, and then he's like, ah, and then he grabs the wheel too hard.
Oh, God.
And then we start spinning around. We don't hit anything. We're good. He drives me home.
Holy shit.
And then Uber calls me the next day, and they're like, how much do you want? And I go, $5,000, and they go, done, and I got it, like, 2 days. And I'm kicking myself because I definitely could have
retired.
Yeah.
They'd like you to keep this to a dull roar.
I'm going to do a rare reenactment where I play both Leo and the Uber driver. Hey, what is? Enjoy. Jump into Uber. Hey, it's so late. Wait, I picked you up from the improv. Are you a comedian? Yes, I am. Let me tell you a joke. Sorry.
Yeah, so now when I
normally
get
the don't
Uber,
play both roles. Yeah, yeah. I feel like you would have been insulting, and Brian wouldn't have known where that was going.
I wasn't on.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely get into Uber cars now with like some cocaine, some Red Bull. Like, yeah. You know, I play the music loud. Like, yeah.
Group I'm trying Uber. To,
I was going to say, Leo, things not going well?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I like to do Uber pools because it's a way of meeting people.
It is.
Like, I'm just like, I miss being in Chicago, being on trains and public transportation.
It's a way
where you
of
got to
your
interact
neighbor?
With people. It's so isolating in L.A.,
yeah,
you know?
Like the movie Crash.
Well, how it is. Pardon me, but... How does Uber pool work?
Remember the super shuttle?
Yeah.
But a car.
Yeah, see, that's tough. So
I don't want to run other people's errands. So yeah, I don't want to get
anyone
to
that house. Is like, one, I've met a few women
really?
The Uber pool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've
don't
also
brag
gotten
about that.
Some great. And actually, here's the thing. I get the best advice from my Uber drivers. My one Uber driver told me to buy Bitcoin when it was like $1,000. He's like, you got to buy it. You got to get it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw it at like, you know, 80,000. I was like, oh my God, I should have listened to my Uber driver. Another Uber driver gave me the best advice on relationships. I said, what's the key? He said, you have to travel and you have to set boundaries. He goes, without those two things, it could atrophy.
Wow.
So I get great advice. I love talking to my Uber drivers. I learn about the world.
Financial advice. The guy's getting $14 an hour and he's in his 50s. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, this was a young kid, though. This kid was like in his 20s, and he had already he put a lot of. I'm sure that kid is like flying private jets now.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah, because this was like when Bitcoin was 1,000, and then boom.
Wow.
I don't know what. I know it's dropped a lot.
It's under $20,000 now.
But it's still, this guy. Came in on the basement
he
floor.
He came
right?
in on a basement floor. So
really meeting ladies with the Uber
pool. Yeah.
Huh?
Oh yeah. You get a little time, you know? You get a little convo, a little where are you,
you know
going,
where they live?
What are you doing?
And what's the move? Do you ever like get out on the same stop they're on?
Sometimes you get out on the same stop. Sometimes they stay in a car with you to your stop. Sometimes you meet up later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's like improv. You're just kind of playing it by ear and going with the flow.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Gina, you play the Uber passenger.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Next story.
Let's talk a little OJ, which we haven't done in a while. He's been very vocal on Twitter. He likes to make sure his opinions are heard. And a lot of the time, they're hard to disagree with.
Leo, one of your mom's boyfriends, OJ, innocent or guilty? That's going to help.
So he supports the L.A. County law enforcement. He took a stand on Wednesday for the L.A. County Sheriff's Department with a video ranting, ripping West Hollywood for voting to cut funding for the agency. That's the first ironic video I'm going to show you. There's also a second. Go ahead.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, a lot of things was taking place yesterday. I see in Los Angeles, they voted to defund the sheriff's department. I think that's all wrong. You know, I spent a little time in one of our institutions, and trust me, we need police. We need the sheriff's department. I always said they should just redirect some of those funds to better training, and I've always said expanding the IA, Internal Affairs of Police, who investigate the police. But defunding the police as a whole, or the sheriff's department as a whole, no.
So he's for the police. He's also
wise words.
In another twist of irony, TMZ points out that his murder trial defense team famously attacked the LAPD for allegedly contaminating evidence and being racist. He also weighed in on another hot button issue, which. Again, it's just it's comedy gold when you figure out who it's coming from.
Well, how does OJ look better coming out of jail?
That's a great question.
I mean, even Bill Cosby looked better. Oh. Like I was like, what are they doing? And like, how bad is the food? What are they? What's the routine?
Mark
in there?
Garagos, attorney Mark Garagos, said to me many times, like to some of his clients, like who are going in, like the white collar guys, they go, "You're going to come out 40 pounds lighter. You're never going to feel better." Like all the shrimp you're eating and all the boozing you're doing and everything, it's all going away.
And it's the best therapy. My buddy was in prison, and he said that he told his cellmate everything. Like, he's like, you don't open up to anybody in your life the way you open up to your cellmate. And he goes, "I felt 1,000 pounds lighter."
In prison for tax fraud or in prison for
driving that
car? A number of things. It was some white collar crime stuff.
Yeah. I don't think they use the term open up. I think they may say purge or some other version of it, or share.
Bear dump. Sharing.
Yeah, dump. A lot of dump.
I got a dump.
Yeah.
A lot of my. Yep.
So
angst.
Here's OJ's other hot take.
I thought it was a horrible decision. I think Roe versus Wade. The right to decide what happens with their bodies.
This is a champion of women, their bodies.
That women should decide what happens to their bodies.
Almost every single woman should have the right to decide.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
He's getting his voice is getting a little more OJ-er, I should say.
Gravelly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. Does a 25-year-old know OJ one way or the other right now?
Probably not, because at least, 10, 15 years on him, at least they'll go, "Oh, Nordberg from Naked Gun." But that's an old reference now.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's like The Rock. Like, a lot of people still may not know that he used to wrestle.
Right.
Like, he's just a movie star.
He's a Jumanji guy.
Yeah, he's a Jumanji guy.
All right, let's do one more, Gina.
You got it. Well, KFC has come up with another campaign that will disgust some of us and delight some of us. Now you can eat coleslaw and mashed potatoes and corn with your fingers thanks to KFC's new finger sporks. There you go. Tiny little sporks that fit on your fingers so that you feel like you're eating with your hands, because that's important. But you got to hurry. It's only available through the 12th.
We're kind of at the phase in society where these companies, they know who their audience is.
Indeed.
At this point.
Indeed.
Some of the dumbest people on the planet, all the fast food ones, and they're starting to get into this world where it's like, we're going to make a gordita, but we're going to make the shell out of Cheetos, and we're going to roll them in crunch berries.
Oh,
because
I'm sorry.
The dumbest people.
But that sounds delicious, though. I
was going to say
some of
this.
The most evolved people on the planet, should I say.
I was going to save this for tomorrow. You know what the new Taco Bell item is.
I did see
what
some sort
it?
Of.
It's a tostada on a giant Cheez-It that's 16 times the size of a regular Cheez-It.
Right. Let's do that.
So, like, what I'm realizing is they're almost like people who design cat toys, going like, we could get this fluffy ball and hang it on a piece of elastic, and then we could attach it to the side of your counter, and your cat would keep, they don't really look at you. They're not making shit for people. It's a different species at this point. Like, we will make
it's almost like
finger.
That Snuggie. What was
the Snuggie,
it was a Snuggie, right? Where you just slide. It was a blanket.
Yeah.
But you could put your arms through
it. Are you too lazy to keep your blanket up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Introducing
we
the
now,
Snuggie.
There's a whole segment of society that we're thinking of like we used to think of pets.
Yes.
And we're designing like food and entertainment and blankets and ponchos and stuff.
Well, Shark Tank is to blame for all this.
Yes.
I mean, Shark Tank has people being like, how can I make the dumbest thing that can scale and then make $1 billion off of it? Because apparently that's what people are investing in. You know, it's like so scalable, great. Dumb stuff. And how was the EPA not protesting the finger spork? I mean, if there's anything that's going to cause a yeah. lot. Like, we got, you know how they got rid of the, they were trying to get rid of the little coffee to go cups. They were saying, like, that's right. environmentally.
Yes.
But
yes.
now we're going to replace it with the finger spork. This is going to be a turtle.
More plastic, exactly. Just, more plastic yeah. than a straw.
Just use your hands. And why can't we just, why do, I hate utensils.
KFC probably saw people using their hands for this. It was like, even that's fucking too disgusting yeah. for us.
Oh, so, or some lady with really long nails yes, scooping mashed potatoes in with the...
this seems repugnant
yes.
to me.
It
yes.
absolutely
well,
is.
Well, remember when they just put everything in one bowl?
Yeah, and then at some point...
And then they had the chicken sandwiches instead of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Those yeah. were the...
On the chicken breast.
These yeah. things are going to be outlawed because somebody's going to be eating their mashed potatoes and then their eye's going to itch and they're just going to reflexively reach out and tear their cornea off. And then some lawyer's going to get involved and that'll
it's
be that.
It's going to be the jerk situation with Carl Reiner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the OcuGrab or right. whatever mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll keep you posted on these lawsuits.
I did have I don't know why. Shark Tank. That's what reminded me of this. I can't remember if I was telling you guys this weird kismet, but I was sitting in a hotel room and I was just thinking, told you guys this, honey, too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Too cheap.
Yeah.
For what you got to do to get that pint of honey, $3.99, it should be $2,800 for the mm-hmm. amount of work that right. went into that amount of honey. And I was thinking of that and I just literally turned the TV on and it was Shark Tank and it was a black family who made honey. And I remember, like, no one else gives a shit, but I was just looking at this pad where I just wrote, honey, what's up with honey? And I turned the TV on, and it was this all black man, the kids, the mother, the father, and they had this kind of honey thing. I don't know if you've heard
Wait,
of this.
First of all, I'm scared that you wrote down on a pad, and then it was on your television. Are they watching us also? Was this an iPad that you
this
wrote it on?
Or
I was watching on a TV. I was in a hotel room, and it's a new... And they were pitching it to the Shark Tank. I've never
but
seen anyone
see it.
Pitch.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And but you know what? What's interesting about honey and the reason why it's so cheap is a lot of the Asian companies are cutting it with. I forget what they cut it with, but
they're
it's
skimping
not
on it.
They're skimping on it. So if you look on honey now, it can't say imported from Asia. It has to be from either America or South America.
Uh-huh.
So what the Asian companies are doing now is shipping their honey to South America, repackaging it, and then sending it up.
And it's cut with corn syrup or fructose.
That's why it's so cheap. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you got to go to the farmer's market,
that's
baby.
That's right.
They're
that's
putting
right.
it.
You want to find a $2,900 jar, you go to the farmer's market.
Everybody's a drug dealer.
That's right.
I know. And then people are putting it in their tea because they think it's a healthy mm-hmm. alternative or whatever, and it's got corn syrup all throughout. Chris, what is that family, black family, sold Sonny, sold honey. Sonny's my kid. Honey, that should narrow
when
it
I was
down. And we're on Shark Tank, and you saw that one, right?
I did see it, yeah. When I was in college, me and my buddy used to sell daiquiris at house parties. Everybody else was like selling alcohol out of kegs.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that if we put water in the vodka bottles, we didn't have to buy vodka. And so then our profit margins
skyrocketed.
And the daiquiris, no one can taste the booze anyway.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Zach and Zoe, Sweet Bee Farm.
Ooh.
It's this whole family farm who makes honey. And I don't know what they were doing on Shark Tank, but I was too busy freaking out that I just wrote honey on a pad and then turned on the TV.
Or did you freak out because of honey or because it was a black family making honey? You're like, they're coming for the...
You want the real answer?
I want the real answer, Adam.
Hey, we should play that game. These guys, they're an intact family, and they're honey farmers. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wrong sound effect.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I normally have racist thoughts, but in this particular case, it was really about the honey. I was just like, I wrote honey on a pad and then turned the TV on, and these people were selling honey. I've never seen a family sell honey. I thought Shark Tanks were all like inventions and stuff. I didn't know it was selling honey.
Yeah, and pretty good.
Are you jealous a little bit? Are you mad that you didn't think of this? Did you have a little...
To sell honey?
Yeah, yeah. I thought of that 50.
Honey's my invention. First the
Egyptians.
Now the black man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had no regrets. I don't live in the past. But I just thought I immediately filed it under, this is one of these stories where I'm going to tell people and they're going to go, huh, there you go. Yeah. And I'm going to, don't you understand? I'd written honey and underlined it and turned the TV on and everyone's going to go, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's progress too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
A black Are they going to give together? Me their own version of it? Like one time I was thinking about my friend, the phone rang, and guess who was on the other line? Steve, the guy I was thinking about. Like, okay.
We're there. We're close.
Oh, the kids had bad allergies, and they used raw, unfiltered honey to alleviate their son's health challenges.
Interesting.
It works.
I heard Yuri's gold. Yuli's gold. There's a
Peter Fonda.
Something like that.
If you gave the Zach and Zoe family a million guesses, they never would have guessed who gave them a plug today.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A good 5-minute commercial.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, first a couple of words from Hyundai. Throughout history, electricity has inspired some pretty incredible inventions, like smartphones and those little robot vacuums people name like pets. But of all the great things, nothing compares to the Hyundai Ioniq 5. 100% electric AR heads-up display, pixel-inspired light clusters, introducing the first-ever Hyundai Ioniq 5. Your journey at its most evolved. Right, Dawson?
Extremely limited availability. Available in select states only. Contact your Hyundai dealer for availability details.
All right. Springfield, Missouri, Blue Room Comedy Club, July 15th and 16th. I'll be doing stand-up there. We'll do live pods there. So you can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live pods and all the shows and the pre-order the book and all that good stuff. The Triple Door in Seattle, Washington, that'll be on the 29th. That's Leo's gig. And then Mic Drop Comedy in San Diego. That'll be August 11th. And, of course, Before You Kill Yourself is the name of the podcast. Instagram at LeoFlowers2000. And, of course, Danny Trejo and Charlie Clark and Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I hate utensils.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote. Or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.